product research. How could you go onto something and say, well, that's going to be crap? Let's say you went onto Amazon USA, the average sales for the particular product you're looking at was like $3,000. That would say to me, the way you're going to minimize shipping, you're going to initially speak to your supplier about how can you minimize the weight and the dimensions of the product. So when you go to ship it, you've already got an advantage. Trademarking, I'm going to tell you a top secret that nobody is telling anyone about this. The issue with trademarking is one, yes, there is a cost to it, but here's the hack. I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how much does it actually cost to start an Amazon business? And this is probably a question that most beginners want to know about. I get this all the time. And I had a client the other day. We sat down and he said, you know, Matthew, really, how much is it going to cost me to launch a product, to get this Amazon business going? And I said, well, look, let's step through the numbers and have a look, because every person is different. You know, I know in my case, when I first started, it was in the vicinity, it was under 10,000 Australian dollars. And then on top of that, I paid for some stock. Yeah. And so people say $10,000, that's a lot of money. Well, in this case, I don't think it was a lot of money, because I was actually designing my own product. Some people don't design their own product. And what does that mean? It means they'll actually go to somewhere like Alibaba, which is like a smorgasbord of products for that manufacturer's showcase. And if you go onto alibaba.com, you can actually see how much a widget is going to cost you, how much a yoga mat is going to cost you, or how much a chopping board is going to cost. And it'll also give you not just the cost price per unit, but also an MOQ, so a minimum order quantity. And it just so turns out, as you can imagine, that the more you order through these companies, the cheaper the per unit cost is going to be. Now, if you buy something that's just straight off their marketplace and you don't do any changes whatsoever, so you don't change the color, you don't add some sort of a special feature, then that's going to be the cost, which is display. But as soon as you start altering things, new colors, new different formats of products, then the factory is probably going to have to go and do different tooling and put more time and effort into designing that product for you. So therefore, the cost could increase, or the MOQ certainly could increase for you. So that's when I talk about it's on a case by case. I've also got a client right now who has completely designed his product from scratch. It's not like he's taking an existing chopping board, for example, and altering it into something new. This product just does not exist. So he's got to invest a lot more money into his product than perhaps some other people who can just go to Alibaba and buy an off-the-shelf product. And of course, the products range, don't they, all the way from baby products to clothing to auto products to healthcare products, everything down to you can actually go to Alibaba and buy literally screws. Yeah, just little tiny screws, and you might decide you want to be a screw and nail expert and just sell those. Now, as you can imagine, those products are going to be like cents, as opposed to maybe a healthcare product. It might cost you $100, $200 initial cost price just to get one unit. So it varies for everybody. So I sat down with my client and he had a budget in mind. He really didn't want to spend really any more than certainly 10. And so we started stepping through those numbers and what is the process. And of course, the first process is going to be doing some market research, right? Market research in deciding what type of niche you want to do. Now, this can be quite daunting for a lot of people because they don't know where to start. Obviously, that's why I get clients, because I can step them through those processes of where to find this information and make their life certainly a lot easier, where they can also save money. I think actually something interesting just thinking about is the reason why people actually come to me is not only to get my expertise and how to grow a business to, in my case, over $45 million in sales, scaled across the whole world, but also they pay me so I can tell them how to actually save money. It seems almost like a counterintuitive, but you actually pay me so that you save money. I've got a client, for example, and I don't know, I digress here, but I think this is really, really important, because the client came to me after she had already placed an order. So she'd done her own market research. She decided that this particular product was going to be for her, and her investment was going to be $30,000 Australian. And then she came to me. But by that stage, she'd already signed the contracts with the manufacturer. She'd already paid an $8,000 deposit. And after looking at the product selection, I was really worried. I mean, really worried. This could be a $30,000 investment. And that was just for the product. That didn't include the shipping. Okay. It could have been a fatal, fatal mistake. And so my advice to her was actually walk away from the $8,000. Try and get the $8,000 back from the manufacturer because that's the deposit you've paid. And luckily in her case, she's actually walked away from that product because that's the best advice I could give her. If she had gone ahead and spent $30,000, I actually sat down and worked out for her how much it would cost to try and sell these products because I believed that it was going to be extremely difficult to sell these widgets to the mass audience. And it was actually going to cost her in the vicinity by the time you added the product, the shipping, duties, taxes, fulfillment, then spending money on advertising because in this particular case, she only wanted to sell it through Shopify. She wasn't even going to sell it through Amazon. We're talking, hold it, I hate even saying it, to the tune of like $50,000. That is what the minimum cost would have been to her had everything played out. And that's why I said, walk away from the eight. Okay, and let's just start again because we can recover from eight. It's going to be really hard to recover from 50. So that is a word of warning, and that's why you invest money in someone like myself who can mentor you through these really challenging times for people who are new to this game of online business. So back to my client, how can we spend under $10,000 in his case to launch a product? Well, the first thing I said was go and do market research. What are the tools are going to be? Now, I'm going to share with you some of the tools that I said to my client. One of them is going to be free tools, just like Google. You can jump onto Google and you can get a wealth of information. And you want to be checking on there, I guess, the product itself. How does it sit in the marketplace? You don't want to be buying a product that it's simply just not going to sell. So you want to know there's got some strong demand. And the other thing though, is there's other tools that you can use. And I use a tool called Zonguru. There's other tools out there as well, such as Helium 10 and others, where you can pay a very, very small subscription fee. Some of these types of tools even have free initial plans. So you can try before you buy. And these tools are incredible. You can go onto your Amazon marketplace with the tool that overlays over the top, and it will tell you the sales that every single product is selling for. So let's just say that you've decided that you want to sell yoga mats. You can go type in yoga mats on the Amazon marketplace. All the yoga mats will come up. You can press this feature button through this third-party software, and it will display for you all of the sales for all of the different products, including the sales volume, the review ratings. It'll also give you the averages. It'll tell you whether that niche is even a good niche to sell in based on a bunch of other key metrics. So that would be the first place that I would start to gather information, because if the metrics aren't good there, and what would be not good metrics? How could you go onto something and say, well, that's going to be crap? Let's say you went onto Amazon USA and the metrics were the average sales for the particular product you're looking at was like $3,000. That would say to me, there is no demand for that product. That would be my initial inclination. But let's say there's something different where it's a brand new product to market. It's only new. And I'll give an example, a nut milk maker, right? You can get they're like blenders now and they make nut milk, right? They seem to be quite fashionable at the moment. They're sort of penetrating the market. And if you start with something like that, you might find that the sales are minimal on the Amazon marketplace, but only because it's a new product to market. So you'd have to do some additional research to figure out, hey, is this going to be something where I'm new to market and the sales are going to grow? So talking about tools to do with market research, there are a number of tools, but let's talk about some free tools. Go to the marketplace itself. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit of a hack. Once you've actually nailed down the type of product you want, let's say you want to sell yoga mats. I actually go and buy some competitor yoga mats and have them delivered right to my house. Now, why would I do that? I want to know exactly how they're built, what sort of features come with the yoga mat, what sort of customer support comes along with the yoga mat, like a product insert, what are they saying in there? And I want to try and see if there's a way for me to improve my product based on the existing products. Another thing you can do without even buying the product is go to the Amazon reviews of the particular products in your niche, right? And start reading through all the reviews, especially the negative reviews. What you might find is that there's an opportunity. We might say, oh, look, I really like black yoga mats, but I really wish it came in pink, right? There's your opportunity to capitalize on that market. So let's just say that you've decided that you want to do your own product in Amazon. And it might even be an off-the-shelf product in Amazon, but you want to put your own stamp on it. And by putting your own stamp on it, you're going to want to put your own brand on it, right? You're going to brand that product your own. And so what does that mean? It means creating your own logo, your own word. You might even go ahead and trademark that particular logo and word so that it's unique to you. Now, in doing so, that's going to come at a cost, right? But the cost could be advantageous for you. But I'm going to tell you a top secret that nobody is telling anyone about this, right? Now, what you'll find is that the issue with trademarking is, one, yes, there is a cost to it. And from memory, last time I trademarked, it's about $2,500-$3,000. And it could take you up to 9 months to get that trademark fully approved. But here's the hack. If you go to particular websites and you type in trademarks for sale, or go to a company called flippa.com, that's F-L-I-P-P-A, and hunt for trademarks for sale, you could potentially pick up a trademark for next to nothing, because there's going to be people out there who have trademarked brands who have just fallen out of love with their brand. And now it's just sitting there collecting dust. So you could potentially pay for that IP and secure that brand. So you're going to fast track now 9 months. Now, why is that important? Because when you go to Amazon, if you've got a trademark that you can put into brand registry, which is like a secure Amazon site to protect your brand against other people trying to steal your brand. But by doing that, you get a whole bunch of extra services from Amazon. For example, you can now use their A+ content. Now, that means that you can basically create essentially like a sales page website within Amazon. You can also take advantage of some of their special promotions, including getting reviews, which is like through their Vine program. So you can actually pay a small amount of money to have people give you reviews, because reviews on products equals more sales, which equals money. And the other thing is, you can also get videos now added to your listing. If you don't have a trademark registered with brand registry, you cannot get videos with your listing. And videos are a really powerful tool to help you sell your product. So along with getting a trademark, you want to think about getting branding behind it, which means, what is the color of the logo? Who is your avatar? You know, what kind of message are you trying to sell through your brand? Most people will go to a company, for example, like 99 Designs. That is a company that you can use that will help you select a brand name, if you don't have one already, or a logo, or if it's just a word, the font type of the logo. And my tip to you, because I fell into this trap, I got carried away with the whole thing, because when you go into these websites, they've got an entry-level program, and then they've got this really, really expensive one. And I got suckered into the expensive one, and I think maybe like over $1,500 to get their U-Beaut program to help you design this amazing logo. But trust me, just go with the cheapest option they have, which might be in the vicinity of $200 or $300. And that will be suffice for you to get started. So remember that tip. Don't go for the large one. save the money, go for the cheapest option because they always deliver good results either way you go. So once we've been through the product research, we've got logos, we've got trademarks, we've secured the actual product itself, you're probably going to want to get product samples. Now, this is where a high cost can come into play. So we want to minimize this cost. And the reason why it can become expensive is because the manufacturers over in China will charge you, they're not going to charge you a dollar per unit just to have a sample. What they tend to do is they charge you a quite a large fee in the vicinity, maybe like $100 to get that product shipped out to you in Australia. And that's because they just don't want thousands of people ordering samples at like a dollar each, even though perhaps you could buy that product for $1 to $5 from them, yeah, but only based on a large order. So if you're buying single units, you're going to have to pay. Now, how can you minimize that? One is try and get as much information from the supplier as possible, including photos, videos, written descriptions. Perhaps they even have that product that already exists in Australia that perhaps you could go and buy in an Australian retail store at maybe only cost $20 to buy retail, but you can check the quality of their manufacturing. That might be a good start. Now, if you've got, let's say, 20 different suppliers that you're talking to, you do not want to go and get 20 different samples. You can imagine that cost is going to add up. So that's why you want to try and streamline and filter out all the bad suppliers. And it might even be not even the photos of a product. It might be the fact that, hey, this supplier doesn't even respond to my emails, yeah? Or they're responding, but they're not listening to my questions, or they can't answer my questions. Delete them, okay? Get them off the list. So you're gonna streamline the supplies that you're looking at for your yoga mats, yeah, down to maybe three. And then I would only, at the very end, once you've got all the photos and you're happy with the supplies, then I would go ahead and order one or two samples from each supplier. Now, your question is going to be, Matt, why would I get two samples for if I can just get one? Sometimes it might be wise to get two samples of the one product so you can compare the two. Just compare it from a manufacturing point of view, one to the other, and see if they're consistent in their manufacturing. But you only want to do that once you get to the end of the line, you've filtered out the supplies, and you know that this is going to be a good supplier that you could potentially work with. Moving on to the next phase is going to be shipping. Now, shipping, it can cost a freaking fortune these days. And the way you're going to minimize shipping is obviously if you're going to send it by air freight is going to be way more expensive than sending it by sea. But you're going to initially speak to your supplier about how can you minimize the weight and the dimensions of the product. So when you go to ship it, you've already got an advantage. The other thing is it may be of the way the product is palletized on your pallets. There's going to be different dimensions. Ones will be cheaper than the others. Maybe you want to do co-shipping with other companies to minimize the footprint within your shipping container. So you're not just taking up a whole shipping container yourself, you're using up a part of another person's shipping container. That might be another option for you. The other thing is shipping your product directly to Australia first. Maybe Australia's cheaper, maybe you wanna test the product first in Australia before you test it in the US, because shipping to the US, again, is more expensive. So that's some things that you can look at to minimize shipping costs. But above all that, get multiple quotes. Do not go with the very first quote that you get, because you might find that the companies are going to offer different shipping rates. Now, something that does come up is, do manufacturers alter the quotated price of the goods on their invoices in order for you to save on taxes going into a particular country? That might come up for you, but I would be very, very wary about that, because it could just take one slip up. Next thing you know, you've got black mark against your name. You're going to be under a lot of scrutiny now from customs on the importation country, and you just really don't want that. So I think don't try and sidestep the legalities, particularly when it comes to customs and taxes, because it really could backfire on you. Okay, the next step is going to be listing. You've now shipped your product all the way into the country, your destination country. It could be Australia, could be UK, could be Canada, could be USA. Most clients that I deal with are going to be either be Australia or USA. USA being the biggest marketplace for Amazon in the world, and Australia being, well, we live in Australia. There could be some other opportunities that you might see in Australia. So when it comes to listing, there's a couple of things that you want to think about. One is going to be your images. The images are absolutely imperative when it comes to listing. And why is that? It's because the customer can't pick up the product. They're not going into the store and picking up and touching your product and sort of reading the labels and things like this. So that's why your images have to display the product in the best possible light. So don't skimp on photography or the amount of money that you're going to spend on someone helping you with doing images. What's so incredible right now is you've got AI. Now, if you don't know how to use AI tools to help with doing these images, you can outsource that to someone on like Fiverr. Now, I've got a client right now, for example, where they didn't want to spend the money. And I said, look, the images you've done, they're crap. We're going to have to go back now and we're going to optimize those images. And I showed him exactly the person and the way to actually find that person through Fiverr. Because the other thing I want to do, I guess, as a mentor is I don't want to just give the people the fish. I also want to show them how to fish. Because the idea is I share all my knowledge with people so that they can go off and become an amazing Amazon e-com seller themselves. I just don't want to hold all the information in my head, right? I want to give you the tools. And so by giving my client the tools, he was able to go and optimize his images and literally went from zero sales one day and then straight away, as soon as the images had changed, started making sales. That's how paramount the images are. Now, as far as cost, it was cheap as chips. I'm talking like $50 is all it took to use someone on Fiverr, because these guys, you know, they're based in countries like Pakistan or India. So you can get exceptional value for money. And these guys who are in India and Pakistan, et cetera, they're bloody smart. These are very, very smart people. They know how to use these tools like the back of their hand. So definitely take advantage of these people. Okay, so once you've launched your product, you're going to want to start playing around with some other features within Amazon. One of them is going to be PPC, that is pay-per-click, which is just advertising within the Amazon marketplace. Now, that is something that you can easily blow out and waste a lot of money. So my advice to you is go and do some research. Don't just start straight away, right? Find out how to best optimize your PPC, especially in the beginning, where you can save money. For example, don't start off spending hundreds of dollars a day on PPC, because you could blow out your $10,000 within like a very, very short amount of time. Start off really low, like maybe $5 a day or $10 a day, and learn how to use PPC. I tell you what, there's so much opportunity within just the advertising space. If you became an expert in PPC, you probably wouldn't even have to sell on Amazon ever again. But I'm just kidding aside. You would definitely want to sell on Amazon, but you would be a valued person with some valuable knowledge, and PPC is so instrumental in getting sales. So once you've now made all your sales, things have started off, they're going well, you want to think about customer experience. Now, what I do is I actually outsource my customer service. I use a company called Zon Support. They are exceptional. And so if you really want to tap into another company who can look after that, definitely look at Zon Support. Cost-wise, I think the plans are going to vary from person to person. I think for me, it's about a few hundred dollars a month, maybe even less, let's say $200 to $300 a month for their service. And so what they're going to do is basically look after responding to customers. Let's say there's a customer sends back a faulty item, they can send out a new one. They kind of just take all the day-to-day operations of customer service off my plate and let me focus on the bigger picture, like getting better products and optimizing my listing and making more profit. All right, guys, so as we come to a conclusion with this episode, let's just go through those numbers again. Now, for the product market research, we allocate, say, probably $50. Then we go on to branding. I would allocate probably $300 there. Plus, depending on, and fingers crossed, you can actually buy an existing trademark. Let's say you could pick one up for $500, an abandoned and disused trademark that you could tap into. So $500 there. Plus then we're talking listing optimization, let's say approximately $50 to $100. Let's say $100 for that. Then we're talking customer support. That is something that you probably don't even have to do. That is probably something further down the track. I've added it in there anyway in case you want to outsource that. And let's allocate that to, say, $300 for the first month. Okay, so let's add in some customer support there. I would allocate about $300 for the first month for that. Now, keep in mind with customer support, you could actually do that yourself. You don't really need to outsource that, but let's just say you did, okay? So now with all those costs considered, it's about $1,750. Now, on top of that, you're going to factor in your shipping and also the product cost itself. Now, that, of course, is going to vary from person to person, whether, and of course, not just the product itself, but then how much of that product that you ultimately sell. So at $1,750, we're actually under the $2,000 that I had initially kind of thought about, and well under the $10,000 that I spent. So that information I've just given you has really probably saved you like $8,000. Hey, thank you. You are welcome for that. So guys, thank you so much for joining me in this episode. Really hope you've enjoyed it. And of course, reach out to me if you've got any further questions. Look forward to seeing you next one. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.